What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Tuesday, October 6, 2020, getting into the week here. We have a lot to go through in terms of news, and then we'll open the phone lines for your comments, questions, opinions, and observations. Mike is in our control room again today, twiddling the dials and keeping us out of trouble. So let's get right on into it. After returning to the White House, Trump made a statement imploring Americans not to let COVID-19 dominate your life or to beat you. Basically saying you shouldn't be scared of it. And he's taking the position now that he's more of an expert on COVID-19 now that he personally has had it. Now, interestingly enough, out in Hollywood, a whole bunch of celebrities there had this meltdown over Donald Trump leaving Walter Reed Military Hospital. These are the same people who are out there tweeting that he hoped he died and he was going to be there until after the election. And at the center of Hollywood's temper tantrum was the president's advice: don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. And it set off this freak out where celebrities were launching social media attacks at the president and even his medical team, spreading conspiracy theories and wild accusations intended to hurt Trump. NBC's community actor Ken Young, who's also a medical doctor, said you're faking your recovery. And the president's doctors are lying for a mass murderer. This was from Animal Kingdom actress Ellen Barkin. And finally, Captain America star Chris Evans tweeted, this is reckless to a shocking degree, even for you. So, boy, the venom is definitely flowing out there. But on the other hand, why should we pay attention? They're actors, right? Okay. Now, Joe Biden is out there leading critics, accusing Trump of still downplaying COVID as he took his mask off, as he got up on the balcony at the White House and he took his mask off and told the U.S., don't be afraid. And Biden said, what is this macho thing here? So anyway, Trump is going to remain on steroids. He's going to have his fifth and final dose of remdesivir tonight. Doctors insist his top-notch treatment will continue inside the White House rather than the Walter Reed Hospital. Okay, now, almost as soon as the president came home, the campaign released a parody video of the president dodging what appeared to be coronavirus before scoring a touchdown shortly after he was released from the hospital to finish his COVID-19 treatment at the White House. And apparently, social media companies are trying to kill this one, because it's apparently very, very funny, but I went to a couple of places that supposedly had it and violates our community standards and all the rest of that stuff here. Meanwhile, of course, speculation continues to mount about just where President Trump was exposed to COVID-19. And I'm sure the events of the last week are to be studied for a very long time, and a lot of information remains unknown. In the early morning of Friday, October 2nd, President Trump tweeted that he and the First Lady had tested positive for COVID. We're now aware that they knew that Thursday and simply delayed admitting it to the public. And then, of course, Friday night, he checked into Walter Reed National Medical Center for treatment. And at that point, speculation began about what was going on. Now, Donald Trump is back at the White House. He's doing work. He's apparently doing work in one of the diplomat meeting rooms because the West Wing and Oval Office are being sanitized right now. They've got crews in there in hazmat suits, just absolutely sterilizing the entire places. And they're dealing with a cluster of staff and reporters who've tested positive for COVID-19. Now, a lot of people were screaming about Donald Trump's, first of all, his little motorcade around Walter Reed to greet his supporters, and second, simply going back to the White House, exposing the Secret Service to COVID-19. So CNN tried to have a former White House physician condemn President Donald Trump's Sunday drive-by to thank his supporters. And Dr. William Lang said, there was nothing to criticize. It was a very, very small risk. Remember that tank, that presidential limousine, is actually airtight. In case there's a gas tank, it's got its own air system on board. It's like a little spacecraft on wheels, really. Okay, so anyway, apparently Washington Post blogger Jennifer Rubin has been taken to the woodshed online after calling Walter Reed Medical Center a public health hazard and calling for its budget to be slashed following Trump's stay there. Now, this self-ordained, never-Trump pro-democracy opinionator took calls to defund public institutions to another level on Monday, urging Congress to slash Walter Reed's budget for reasons left unstated, presumably something to do with the president, who was discharged from the medical center later that day after spending the weekend there. So Rubin declared from her perch on Twitter, Congress might want to defund Walter Reed. It is a public health hazard. Now, over at Facebook, we know that Facebook has been censoring conservative content and everything. Oddly enough, Facebook says wishing President Trump's death is okay as long as he's not tagged. Little differentiation there. So Facebook says users can wish President Trump death from coronavirus as long as they don't tag him. Is kind of weird. All right, getting into the general wider area of our politics here. Ginsburg's nightmare, the Democratic plan to destroy the Supreme Court of the United States. Well, what the plan is they want to add a whole new bunch of justices. So they're going to go from 9 to, I think the target number is 15, and then have the additional 6 all be liberal judges in order to take back the majority from the conservatives. And, of course, this is something that Ginsburg expressly denounced, you know, for the Supreme Court. It would definitely muck up the operation there. Okay, a story coming out of Investment Watch blog. And apparently there has been some more declassified information linking Hillary Clinton to Russiagate, and apparently the Trump-Russia smears were made up by Hillary Clinton to distract the Department of Justice from her email server scandal. And it worked. They dropped the investigation into her private use of an email server, even though it is a violation of Title 18. Now, according to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, the FBI did not probe the claim that Clinton ordered Russiagate because it was part of the plot. The U.S. Director of National Intelligence has released a Russia intel report dated July of 2016 that claimed then-presidential candidate Hillary Clinton had approved a plan to stir up a scandal against Donald Trump by linking him to Moscow and Russian hacking of the DNC in order to distract the public from her use of a private email server. Sputnik spoke to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, an American economist and former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury for Ronald Reagan, in order to discuss the revelations made by John Ratcliffe, Director of National Intelligence, about the 2016 election campaign in the United States, the so-called Russiagate conspiracy, the ongoing attacks on President Donald Trump, and more. All righty. Now, after recovering from the coronavirus, Trump has now ordered the Obama administration spy records to be totally declassified. Now, he's going to run head-on into Gina Haspel over at CIA, who is blocking the release of any documents from CIA related to this scandal. Article coming out of Blabberbuzz. October surprise. Swing state suburban women are rallying towards Trump. Okay, apparently we're having an issue with YouTube. Well, that's why we need donations from all of you to keep all of this stuff running here. Anyway, swing state suburban women are rallying towards Trump, and basically they're talking about how the women in the swing states are saying they don't believe anymore the corporate media reports about the polls favoring Joe Biden. Well, we've already reported that the reason the corporate media polls seem to favor Joe Biden is they're oversampling Democrats. They're talking to far more Democrats than Republicans. So, of course, they're getting the numbers they want to have. But according to a new poll that was a little more fair and balanced, Trump is beating Biden nationally. He's ahead of Biden in 7 battleground states. Now, of course, they're going to insist that's not true because they can't have Trump leading in the polls and then try and steal the election from him. Everybody's going to know what happened. Well, we're all going to know what happened anyway. They've made it very, very obvious. Apparently, the corporate media is now attacking Project Veritas, saying that they made up all this stuff about ballot harvesting and Ilhan Omar, and that they paid the guy in the video $10,000 to lie. Project Veritas, of course, is denying. But then we expect nothing but lies from the corporate media these days. And the majority of the American people no longer trust them. Down in Texas, a police officer, Sean Lucas, of the Wolf City Police Department, shot a black man at a gas station. And it was a horrible tragedy because the man in question was trying to stop a fight between two other people. And the officer basically shot and killed him. He's been arrested. He's being charged. His bond is set at $1 million, according to the Texas Rangers. All righty. Over in Pennsylvania, the police are still abusing asset forfeiture to help themselves to people's cash. And asset forfeiture remains one of the most abused law enforcement practices in the country. There have been some attempts made to rein in the abuse, but in most locales, it's just considered a useful law enforcement tool with minimal downsides. Pennsylvania has seen some of the worst asset forfeiture laws in the nation. And I remember this scandal was first brought to public light by the Philadelphia Inquirer. They were saying, and this was like years ago, that they were saying this is completely out of control. Law enforcement has occasionally been bench slapped by judges for traveling past the wide boundaries granted to it by local legislators. In one case, a judge stopped the state from seizing a grandmother's house just because her son sold officers $140 worth of marijuana from the residence. I mean, there have been cases where houses have been seized for as little as finding a few seeds. In another case, a judge excoriated officers for stripping a house of everything with possible resale value under the pretense that anything of value in it must have been purchased with drug money. It is really, really out of control. I remember a case when I was still living in California where the police departments were literally looking at properties and judging them for their resale value and starting to target very expensive properties and the people who own them in the hope that they could find some reason to confiscate them and sell them to boost their budgets. And there was this plot of land out in Malibu, and they insisted that they were growing marijuana on this land, and they raided the place, and in the process, the homeowner was shot and killed. And it turned out there was no marijuana anywhere on the property. So this is not law enforcement. This is pillaging. This is Sir Guy of Gisborne's tax collectors running rampant across the country stealing pigs and chickens. That's what this is here. All right, let's talk about COVID-19. It's certainly in the news now following Trump's treatment, and looks like he's on his way to recovery. Over in Paris, drinkers enjoy one last beer as the shutters come down on Paris bars for at least two more weeks due to the COVID-19. Over in China, the attitude seems to be virus, what virus? Chinese tourist attractions are swamped by hordes of people as travelers snub social distancing rules to enjoy a national holiday. Now, over at the CDC, they're flip-flopping back and forth. In fact, they're starting to flip-flop like a beached trout. Remember a few weeks ago, they said that coronavirus was airborne. Then they came back the next day and said, well, that was an error. It's not airborne. Now they're saying that coronavirus is spread through aerosolized respiratory droplets that linger in the air. So we're back to that being airborne again. CDC has also admitted that coronavirus can travel much further than just 6 feet, which we reported months ago. Anyway. All right, so President Trump's improving health suggests the virus is now one we can handle. So you have Harvard, Stanford, and Oxford epidemiologists who've launched a petition for an end to lockdowns and targeted protections signed by over 1,700 medical professionals. All right, let's talk about the international news here. The death toll rises in Nagorno-Karabakh. Heavy fighting continues in the disputed region between Armenian forces and Azerbaijan as both sides accuse one another of attacking civilian areas. On Monday, yesterday, Armenian military officials accused Azerbaijan of shelling Stepanakert, the capital of Nagorno-Karabakh. Azeri officials accused Armenia of attacking several towns on Monday, including two major cities, Ganja and Mingachevir, which were first hit on Sunday. Around 250 people have been reported killed in the fighting, but the real number is expected to be much higher since Azerbaijan has not disclosed military casualties. Azerbaijan has confirmed they are using Turkish armed drones against Armenia. And it's basically against Armenian targets, again, in Nagorno-Karabakh. And Azerbaijan President Ilham Aliyev said, thanks to advanced Turkish drones owned by the Azerbaijan military, our casualties on the front shrunk. These drones show Turkey's strength. It also empowers us. Now, the Armenian prime minister is urging army veterans to re-enlist to fight against Azerbaijan in the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict. He's described it as a fight of life and death. So he's asking ex-soldiers discharged during the last 12 months to take up arms again. He said, I want to appeal to our guys discharged over the past year. Come to the Central Military Recruitment Office and enroll in the army. He explained that Armenian law doesn't allow for this category of former soldiers to be mobilized and asked them to come instead as volunteers. Now, as the battle rages on, Armenia wants Washington to explain if it supplied Turkey with F-16s to aid Azerbaijan. Armenia's prime minister wants clarification from the U.S. about the sale of F-16s to Turkey, claiming the advanced jets are bombing civilians amid the battle with Azerbaijan over the contested Nagorno-Karabakh. Turkey and Azerbaijan strongly denied the claims, but the rebuttals have not prevented Armenia from raising the issue of Ankara's perceived involvement in the Nagorno-Karabakh fighting with its major NATO ally, the United States. Last Thursday, Armenian Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan held a telephone conversation with U.S. National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien, according to the New York Times. Washington needs to explain whether it gave those F-16s to bomb peaceful villages and peaceful populations, Pashinyan told the Times. Okay. Now, Ajlan Al-Ajlan, the head of Saudi Arabia's Chamber of Commerce, declared in a statement this weekend that a full boycott of all Turkish products was the responsibility of every Saudi. We reported just yesterday where Turkish products are being boycotted around the world because of Turkey's bad habit of just causing trouble all over the place here. Tensions between Turkey and Saudi Arabia have remained high since the killing of columnist Jamal Khashoggi at the Saudi consulate in Istanbul in 2018. Turkish President Erdogan, under whose command Turkey has become the world's most prolific jailer of journalists after China, used Khashoggi's killing at the hands of Saudi agents to declare himself a friend of the free press and demonize Riyadh, suggesting that the homicide was a direct order from the highest levels of the Saudi government, meaning Mohammed bin Salman. Okay, another article. This one is coming from Balkan Insight. Serbia is playing with fire, delivering arms to Armenia. And it starts out saying this July, the frozen conflict between Azerbaijan and Armenia started to thaw as fighting broke out between Azerbaijan and Armenian forces. Azerbaijani troops found ammunition and shells produced in Serbia among their Armenian adversaries. This discovery not only shook the strategic partnership between Serbia and Azerbaijan, the biggest danger for Serbia was it also risked upsetting both great and regional powers with interest in the Caucasus conflict. As we've already reported, Serbian fighters, Serbian jihadists are joining in to the fight there. And the war in Nagorno-Karabakh is becoming increasingly internationalized as foreigners are arriving to fight on both sides of the conflict. Nagorno-Karabakh, despite being internationally recognized as part of Azerbaijan, has had a de facto independence since 1994 when Armenian forces won a decisive victory. On September 25th, it was first revealed Syrian militants were being transferred to Azerbaijan via Turkey. All right, we got to take a break for commercial, and we will be right back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show here, getting on with the news. Oman becomes the first Gulf state to reinstate their ambassador in Syria. Oman has sent an ambassador to Syria, becoming the first Arab Gulf state to do so after they downgraded or shut their missions in Damascus in 2012 over the government's brutal response to protests at the start of what turned into a war. Oman is one of the rare Arab countries that maintained diplomatic relations with the Syrian government of President Bashar al-Assad after the 2011 uprising, despite pressure from the United States and other Gulf allies. Now, Iran, normally a peaceful country, is starting to talk tough with the United Arab Emirates and Israel. Apparently at issue are three disputed islands in the Gulf. And recall that following last month's historic UAE-Israeli peace deal, which marked the first time in history Israel inked a peace deal to open formal diplomatic relations with an Arab Gulf state, Iran angrily reacted by telling UAE it's now made itself a target in response to any future Israeli aggression. Iran interpreted the White House brokered agreement as yet more bolstering of what was already an increasing Gulf Sunni and Israeli alliance to break the so-called Shia Crescent, which is largely what regime change efforts targeting Syria's Assad were all about. All right. Thousands have been displaced as Yemen's fighting centers on the Ma'arib province. A lot of the ongoing Yemen war hasn't seen much displacement in recent years. The same towns tend to be constantly contested, and the people there fled long ago to safer areas to the extent anywhere in Yemen is truly safe. But recent pushes into Ma'arib province by the Houthis have caused a lot of displaced, with a refugee camp of about 1,500 families forming overnight. That camp has had to move three times in just the past couple of weeks as they fled the same way the fighting is going. The Houthis have designs on the oil-producing parts of Ma'arib, which are valuable to the extent anything in Yemen is, though their production is still very minor in the grand scheme of things. Now, interesting little story here, where it says that if Biden is elected president, he will end U.S. support for the Yemen war. And I think probably a lot of us would like to see that happen. It's not exactly a high point in America's honor, as it were. But Joe Biden has pledged to end his country's support for Saudi Arabia's war in Yemen if he becomes president. Not sure if I believe that, but he's saying the nice things here. Under a Biden-Harris administration, we will reassess our relationship with the Saudi Arabia Kingdom and U.S. support for Saudi Arabia's war in Yemen and make sure America does not check its values at the door to sell arms or buy oil. Yeah, it's a good thing to say during a presidential campaign. I am really not sure that I trust him. Okay, now then. Israel constantly meddled in Yemen's internal affairs under the slain dictator, according to an army spokesman. A spokesman for Yemeni Armed Forces, Brigadier General Yahya Sari, says Israel constantly intervened in the internal affairs of the Arab country during the reign of slain dictator Ali Abdullah Saleh. Speaking at a press conference broadcast live from the capital Sana'a on Sunday evening, Sari highlighted that the Yemeni nation is confronting a Saudi-led military aggression which seeks to accomplish the desired objectives of the Tel Aviv regime. He said Yemen has long been the main target of U.S.-Israeli plots, and the ongoing onslaught clearly proves this. The armed forces call upon Yemenis from all walks of life to raise their awareness about the real intentions of foreigners. Our struggle is nothing but a faithful battle for liberation and independence. Okay. Now, the U.S., Morocco, and Tunisia have signed a 10-year military accord continuing their alliance. On Friday, last Friday, Defense Secretary Mark Esper concluded a fruitful trip to North Africa where he renewed U.S. bilateral military cooperation with Morocco and Tunisia. The renewed arrangements with the two North African countries will run through 2030. The American support will help protect them from lawlessness in Libya and Sahel. Libyan borders Tunisia to the southeast and Sahel borders Morocco to the south. The U.S. and Tunisia have maintained close relations. The American military has provided Tunisian military members with training and helped it in securing its border with Libya. A joint U.S.-German venture in Tunisia has implemented an electronic surveillance program to secure the border. Since the beginning of the 2011 Libyan civil war, violence has spilled over into Tunisian territory. In particular, two attacks in November 2015 killed over 60 tourists. Later that year, a bomb targeting a bus of presidential security guards killed 12. All righty. Now, over in Kyrgyzstan, the Central Election Commission is announcing new elections within 14 days. As we reported earlier, they've had huge, huge protests there. And, you know, these mass protests after preliminary results of Sunday's parliamentary election. And apparently people believe the elections were being rigged. They even broke into where the parliament sits and caused a great bit of damage. Okay, we're coming up here on another commercial break. And when we come on back, we're going to have more news and some phone calls. We'll be right back after these two words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite, a seven-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendivite. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go back to the telephones to Don in Arizona. Hello, Don. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Oh, Mike, a couple. Yesterday, and I think the day before, you were talking about they're now investigating, Durham, I think, is investigating the Clinton Foundation.
Yes.
The mistakes and the illegalities.
I don't know that it's Durham. I'm just aware that there is a criminal investigation into the Clinton Foundation. I don't know that it's Durham.
Well, I think it is Durham. I think I saw that.
Okay. Form.
But one guy that's done a lot of work on this is Charles Ortel.
Yes.
He's done a whole lot of shows with Jason Goodman. You can go to the Jason Goodman channel on YouTube, and I'm looking at it now. There's 268 videos that he did with Charles Ortel. And I watched many of those, and almost every single one of them is about what he would do is prepare some material. He would actually look at the financial statements from the Clinton Foundation and just show, because Charles Ortel used to do that for a living. He did, he worked with nonprofits and all, he knew all the laws, he knows all the laws about nonprofits, and that's what he did for years. And he knows what's legal and what's not legal. And he would look at all these financial statements. One thing, and I watched a lot of them, but you can look at it. It's 268 videos, about 2 hours a piece. So So that's over 500 hours of videos. And one thing he said in the process of doing all this, he said, you know, the reason we're recording all this, one reason is in case they ever want to investigate, all they got to do is look at this YouTube channel. They got all the information. He's already done all the work for them. And yes. There's other people who have also written books. Peter Schweitzer wrote the Clinton Cash and stuff, Clinton Cash.
Yes.
But one thing, I remember one thing that he did that was against the law. When they built the Clinton, the Clinton Library in Little Rock, Arkansas, Clinton put a big condo on the top floor of that for him to live in when he was in Little Rock. Well, that's against the law.
Yes.
You can't, nonprofit, you can't build a house. Basically, he's building a house with the nonprofit. That's illegal. And basically, the main thing they did that was illegal, they would change the name of the organization. They'd move around a lot. They were in Arkansas.
Yes.
They were in Massachusetts. They were in India. They were in Ethiopia, all these different places. And every time they moved, they changed the name of it a little bit. And that was basically a way where they could just siphon off some of the cash out of there. And, Charles Ortel went into great detail. I mean, it's almost boring unless you happen to be able to look at financial statements and kind of keep up with it and stuff. But, I mean, that's all he did for these 500 hours of on YouTube. I mean, also,
yes.
they talked about other stuff also, but it's all on here on YouTube. So if anybody wants to look it up, look at some of these videos here. There's you could take a year to watch them all. I mean, this is several years of doing this. Now, also, I wanted to comment a little bit on COVID. As far as masks, there's a book called The Case Against Masks. A Case Against Masks, and you can buy it from Amazon for about $7. Hard, it's an 80-page book, and it'll tell you why masks are no good. The main reason is you're supposed to be breathing oxygen, not carbon dioxide. And the mask,
yes,
if it whatever it traps is going to stay there on the mask. It doesn't go anywhere. It's on. Then that mask is basically contaminated, and your hand is going to touch that mask. And so you didn't go anywhere. You didn't gain anything by putting whatever droplets that you might have captured from somebody. In other words, and what you said a little while ago is true. It's not the air. It's the droplets. If somebody sneezes
yeah.
on you, in other words, or coughs on you, and you get some snot on you, then transport the virus. But the virus. If they cough on your mask, it's going to stay there, and then that damn mask becomes a toxic, like a petri dish. It just traps everything. It traps your breath.
Well, one of the things that bothers me is I see these masks literally being thrown on the ground, you know, by people
too.
Who come out of a store or something. They just take them off and they just toss them on the ground.
Nobody's trained on what a mask is. They just heard that you're supposed to wear one to get in this damn store
yep.
to buy their stuff, and that's all they care about. 90% of the people have no idea, and they just stuff it in their pocket. They're filthy. You use a filthy old snotty bandana or anything will work. Covers up your face. People go in there with mosquito masks, and I don't wear one. I don't wear a mask, but I did shave my beard. Remember the first thing they said was shave your beard. Remember? You might not remember.
Yeah, I remember that. I didn't listen to that, obviously.
Yeah, I shaved my beard. I did do that. But this mask deal, no. And if you have a beard, the mask is even worse. I mean, it's because the stuff will stay right there on your beard. But if you want to, if anybody's interested in this old Clinton Cash deal, you can read the book Clinton Cash, or you can just go and watch Charles Ortel. He's pretty funny. Him and Jason Goodman will crack some jokes in the meantime all the time. And there's 268 videos. So you never run out of material here. You can watch them the rest of your life probably. Okay, that's all I got to say, Mike. Thanks a lot. Bye.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to David in Boston. Hello, David. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Michael. I'm on a busy stretch of street here, but there's a lull in the traffic. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. Hey, Michael, you said you were somewhat familiar with New York City, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you're familiar with Times Square, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So my question to you is, what do you call a Times Square hustler on steroids? What do you call a Times Square? Times Square is notorious for hustlers. I used to know some of the hustlers. I drove cab in New York City for about 10 years, and I got to know a Times Square hustler very, very well. He was always rolling and dough, had expensive jewelry. He always told me he was so successful because people love to be fooled, and that's why he was so successful as a hustler. But what do you call a Times Square hustler when they're on steroids?
Well, please enlighten us.
Mr. President.
Oh, Mr. President. That's a groaner.
Yeah. Listen, let me ask you this. This whole thing, it just occurred to me that we're in the merry, merry month of October.
Now, we are.
Is this whole thing with Trump and COVID-19 and up at the, Walter Reed, whatever the heck the hospital is that he was in? Yeah, the Army Hospital there. What is it, Walter Reed or something like that?
Yes, Walter Reed.
Yeah. Anyways, is this the deep state? Is this the swamp in the deep state? Is this their idea of an October surprise by any chance?
Well, I'm sure that Trump was surprised when he came down with COVID. And I keep getting emails from people pointing out that it seems like a lot of the GOP leadership are testing positive for COVID, but none of the Democrats. And they're kind of wondering why that might be. I don't know. Maybe the virus just doesn't like Democrats.
Yeah. Well, hey, speaking of Democrats, Michael, Sloppy Joe Biden, Sloppy Joe outdid himself. He actually made this statement, Michael. Sloppy Joe asserts that he has forgotten more than President Trump will ever know. He's forgotten more than Trump will ever know.
Yes. I understand what he's trying to say, but in the current context of questions about his mental acuity, that was not a smart thing for him to say.
Oh, I know. So I have to tell you, I made that up, but it's my feeble attempt at some subtle humor, you know?
So he didn't really say that. Okay, let's be clear.
No, but maybe he did, but it's probably something he would say, huh?
I don't know, but he's still reeling from that one about, he wanting to see the young girls 4 years from now. That one kind of backflashed on him.
Well, speaking of that one, Michael, do you know why Sloppy Joe, his favorite place to go on summer vacation is Yellowstone National Park? That's his favorite place to go. Yeah, you want to know why?
Yes, please tell us why.
Well, because he loves to sniff the grizzly bears out in Yellowstone. During the night, he roams around through the forest sniffing the grizzly bears. Yeah, he loves to rub their fur and sniff them.
Anything else?
There is something else, Mike. Donald Trump, he condemned the Ku Klux Klan, and he condemned white supremacists, but then he was asked about the Proud Boys, and I think this speaks volumes about Tricky Trump. When asked about the Proud Boys, he says, "I know very little about the Proud Boys, but I condemn them." He says he knows very little about them, but he condemns them. So, my thoughts on that, Mike, I'm going to begin to refer to Tricky Trump now. Instead of Tricky Trump, he's President Proud Boy. He's Exhibit A of a Proud Boy. All he ever talks about is he's going to single-handedly make America great again. Great this, great that.
Well, that's to be expected. He's running for president. That's to be expected here. I kind of like Tricky Trump a lot better than President Proud Boy, to be very honest.
Yeah, but he's so proud. He's so proud. He's always outstanding. So proud. Yeah, because for him to say he knows very little about the Proud Boys, but he condemns them. Now listen, Was it the Ku Klux Klan that attacked Waco? Was it the Ku Klux Klan that attacked up in Ruby Ridge, Randy Weaver and Ricky Weaver? Was it the Ku Klux Klan that took down the Oklahoma City courthouse? I could go on and on. Hey, Trump, tricky Trump, why don't you designate that damned FBI as a terrorist organization, huh? It wasn't the Ku Klux Klan, you race traitor.
Well, they,
you filthy
they definitely
race
have earned their spurs. Definitely.
Huh?
They've definitely earned their spurs. But, you know, one of the reasons the FBI is untouchable, and this goes all the way back to J. Edgar Hoover, is they spy on all the politicians and they develop, you know, files on their mistresses and their various sexual perversions and whatnot. So the FBI is able to basically blackmail the entire government. They even blackmailed President John F. Kennedy at one point. And that's why the FBI can do what they do and nobody can touch them.
Yeah, I mean, it ties in with Marilyn Monroe's, mysterious death and everything, but they blackmailed him
over this this woman he was having an affair with who turned out to be a spy.
Okay. So, Mike, I'll close. You got wonderful callers, so I'll just close like this. From my perspective, I believe what we're seeing is a classic Hegelian operation.
Yes.
You know, you put forth these creeps like Sloppy Joe and Kabbalah Kamala and everything, and you know, it's just Hegelian. Then this makes Trump look like the only alternative, like Mr. Wonderful. It's just a Hegelian operation, and I'm going to go back to who you're voting for. I'll vote for Claire, but I'm not going to vote for either one of those freaks. Okay.
So, okay.
With that, Mike, thanks for taking my call, and I look forward to. I hope I didn't offend Tommy Gun Tommy down there in Florida. But I just would say to Tommy Gun Tommy, remember what I said, that Times Square hustler told me that the reason he was so successful hustling people is because people love to be fooled. So,
yeah.
You know, I want Tommy to think about that.
Hustlers, but professional magicians, that's the reason professional magicians do so well. The public loves to be fooled. And it's one of the first things you learn in magic school. Anyway, David, we're going to let you go. The phone lines are now open, 800-313-9443, and call on in and share your opinions and so forth. Meanwhile, getting back to the international news, the 65,000-ton Royal Navy aircraft carrier, the Queen Elizabeth, is at the center of the group, which is this huge NATO force in the North Sea for war games. And it's a total of 9 ships, 15 fighter jets, 11 helicopters, and 3,000 personnel from Great Britain, the United States, and the Netherlands. The strike group, which the Navy has described as the largest and most powerful European-led maritime force in 20 years, has gathered for exercises in the North Sea. Protected by a ring of advanced destroyers, frigates, helicopters, and submarines, and equipped with fifth-generation fighters, HMS Queen Elizabeth is able to strike from the sea at a time and place of our choosing, and with our NATO allies at our side, we'll be ready to fight and win in the most demanding circumstances. Okay, well, here's my thought. I think that aircraft carriers and their carrier wings are as obsolete now for World War III as the battleship was in World War II. When World War II cranked up, naval doctrine was that aircraft carriers were nice to have, but the mainstay of naval combat was going to be the giant battleship. And, of course, World War II proved that the battleships really were sitting ducks for the aircraft carriers. And I think in World War III, the aircraft carriers are going to be sitting ducks for intelligent, smart missiles here. All right, we're going to take another phone call. Joe in California. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Joe, are you there? Okay, I guess we lost Joe in California. Getting on back to the news here. We were talking the other day about how the START Treaty is set to expire in February 2021 and how Russia had said, let's just extend it the way it is now. It's our last remaining arms control treaty with Russia. And the Trump administration basically said, no, we've got all kinds of new conditions. And that basically stalled the talks. However, they have agreed to hold new talks about the nuclear arms control talks in Helsinki, Finland. And apparently this actually started yesterday. So good for them. Okay, looks like Joe in California is back. Joe, are you there?
Oh, yes. Hello, Mike. I got disconnected there.
Okay, no problem. I can hear you now, and you are on the air.
Mike, maybe you can enlighten me. I just was channel surfing. I see Biden's making a speech out of Gettysburg,
yes,
repeating what he's been saying all along, how racist the country is, how hateful, how we're all racists, we're all misogynists, we're all homophobes. First of all, I'd like to know why these people would want to govern such a country.
Okay.
If it's such a hateful, Joe, racist country.
Joe, I got to put you on hold. Joe, I got to put you on hold. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And welcome back to our show here. We're talking with Joe in California. And Joe, you were talking about the Democrats' gloom and doom.
Yes, I also failed to mention anti-Semitism also as well is another problem in this country. But I'm just wondering, Mike, I didn't really follow the events in Charlottesville. I think it was back in 2017.
Yes.
And that's very, it's very ambiguous what happened there. I think that the police were told to stand down. Antifa was basically invited in, and they created an incident. But outside of what happened in Charlottesville, I can't think of any, I don't know, I'm at a loss. I can't recall any right-wing violence or white supremacist violence that's happened since then. We've had so many hoaxes that you've spotlighted, Jewish hoaxes where they painted swastikas, I think, on cars or on campuses, yeah, that were later found out to be committed by Jewish people. And I don't know if you heard of the latest incident, that black woman. She claimed that three white men, I think she was parked next to them, stopped next to them at a red light, and they poured some sort of liquid on her and lit a match.
Lighter fluid is what she said.
Right, and it basically turned out that it was all a hoax. She did it herself.
Yes. Yes.
So we hear so much about these hoax events, and of course the corporate media, the corporate media doesn't follow up. They just headline the original accusation, but then they don't follow up on the hoax that's been exposed. But I can't think of any. I mean, I can't think of any violence committed by right wing extremists or white supremacists, if they exist. I'm sure, yes, there are some out there, but I can't. I'm at a loss. Can you enlighten me?
Well, I mean, the general tone of the corporate media and the Democratic politics these days is that white people are bad. They're racist, they're evil, they're violent, and we have to feel like all black people are victims.
Right. The same white people that elected Obama twice.
Yes.
And it's funny, Mike, you know, I don't want to make an issue of this, but this has been going on, and we know who controls the culture. This has been going on for decades, and I'm a fan of, like, the late 60s, 1970s detective shows, like Mannix,
yes,
Cannon.
Yes.
Mannix and Cannon, specifically. Hawaii Five-O, not as much in terms of what I'm going to say. But in Mannix and Cannon, especially Mannix, there is never a black criminal. Every black, and like Richie Allen, who I really enjoy listening to, he would say, oh, well, like back in the day, American TV in the 50s and 60s, 70s, the blacks were always gangsters and criminals. That's not true.
Yeah.
Like on these programs, the black person's always unjustly accused. Just watch. I invite anybody. Watch Mannix, watch Cannon. Never. All the criminals are white. They've been doing this. This has been an agenda since back in the 60s, maybe before that.
Okay, Joe, we got to let you go.
Plant this message into people's minds.
Okay, Joe, we got to let you go. We got to take a break for station identification. Back with more phone calls after these few words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.